This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust that the program will be a help and a blessing to you. Perhaps it will even challenge you. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. This program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we've been going through some of the characters of the Bible, and we have come to Joshua, and this will be heard on May 9th, and so I need to take just a moment to recognize that this will be heard on Mother's Day. And when I look at some of the Old Testament battles, I can see that mothers, of course, must have been in great anxiety as they saw their children go off to battle, much as ours do today. Frankly, if you were on the Israeli side, the Jewish side of those battles, in most cases, the soldiers would have come back alive. But there were battles, and there were battles to be fought, and there's a mother's love that's always involved, and we thank mothers for the love that they have for their children. And I really want to congratulate mothers who have loved their children and have done their best to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord at this time. I'm always a little reluctant to make a big deal of Mother's Day, because I know that there's a lot of single women who, and even married women, who were not able to have children and who would like to have had children, and I never know just how to deal with that on Mother's Day. I realize that they can take joy in what other mothers have been able to do and enjoy, but at the same time there probably is an ache in their own hearts as they think of their own desire to raise children. Many of them have gotten involved with children in other ways, and we thank God for that. But if you're one of those single women or married women who could not have children, we just want you to take courage in the Lord today and to remember that at least you did not produce children who would end up being a problem to you or a problem to the country. But at the same time, you were not able to produce children that could have made a great difference in the lives of the people around them. So we sympathize with those of you who perhaps would like to have had children and couldn't. We are still glad for every good mother who works in conjunction with a good father to raise a good family. Now, I want to again address Joshua, who is a picture of the New Testament captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus. And we've noted that Joshua really represents faith, where Moses represented the law, and Moses was not able to come into the land of Israel because he violated the law. He violated the command of God, and in violating the command of God, he was kept out of the promised land. And so when we look at the promised land, we said last time most of us would like to look at it as heaven, but really in many regards and in most regards, it's best looked at as the blessings that we receive upon coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in the scriptures to lay hold on eternal life, and that doesn't mean that we have to do something to earn eternal life. What that means is that once we are saved and have eternal life, there's a lot of blessings associated with it that we need to lay hold of. We need to look at the promises of Scripture to the Christian and lay hold on the blessings of eternal life. But as we lay hold on those blessings of eternal life, we have to recognize that the Christian life does involve a battle. And the land involved people who had turned away from God. They'd been given every opportunity to repent and turn back to God. We could spend time on how the Canaanites really had the traditions in their background that the Jewish people did. But they chose idolatry instead. They chose to reject God, and there is a grave punishment associated with rejecting God, though God said that there was a period of time where he gave the Canaanites time to repent. He didn't bring the children of Israel into the land because the iniquity of the people of that land had not yet reached its zenith. People had not yet fully been tested with regard to whether or not they would turn back to the Lord, as I would understand it. The Lord is a merciful Lord. And so we look at Joshua representing faith. And when we see him, we know he's called Moses' assistant. We said last time that he's probably representative, you know, in many ways of deacons in the New Testament. They serve the elders, and Moses would be a representative of an elder, and I think Joshua would be representative of a deacon. He was one of the faithful spies who, along with Caleb, thought they could take the land when they first crossed the Red Sea and had the opportunity to go into the land. And yet most of the spies, there were 12 spies sent, 10 of them, of course, were not agreeable to the fact that they could go in and take the giants of that land. But Caleb and Joshua were both agreeable to the fact that God could easily help them be victorious and take the land. But he ends up coming into the land because of his faith, even though Moses was kept out. But it was after 40 years. The Bible talks about 40 years, and probably from the point where the decision was made to take the children of Israel through the wilderness, it was probably a good 38 years while that God used to let the people who they were afraid would die in this battle in the land, that generation of soldiers all died before they were able to go into the land. So he was one of the faithful spies, and he's the servant of the Lord. We read that in Judges 2, verse 8. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. Wouldn't it be nice to be called a servant of the Lord when you die? And one of the things that he did was he defeated Jericho. Now, he had to be established as the leader of Israel after Moses died, and so he brought the people across the Jordan River in a miraculous way. And then they circumcised the people that had come through the wilderness that had never been circumcised. They hadn't been carrying out that ritualistic rite during their time in the wilderness, so they needed to all commit themselves in this covenant way to the Lord, and so they got circumcised. And of course, then I don't want to spend time on it, but they went against Ai. Ai was one of their failures after they fought at Jericho, but one of their greatest battles was fought at Jericho after they'd come across the Jordan River and after they had been circumcised. Then there's the Jericho battle, and in the Jericho battle there's some mistakes made by one man in one family that cost them the battle at Ai a little later on. But this battle at Jericho is so interesting, because the way they were to win that battle was, again, by faith. They were to go around, they were told to march around Jericho 7 days, and as they marched around Jericho, the priests would go ahead blowing on the trumpet, they would be carrying the ark, and as they went around that city, the city had a great big wall, and it was the wall that represented their protection and their defense against the enemy. And we all have what we think walls that will defend us against the enemy. In many cases, we think that enemy is the Lord, but really the enemy is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we have this wall that we think will protect us, but the wall was going to come down, and they did not know that. Now, we know that there was a woman by the name of Rahab who had had been willing to hide two spies that had come into the land to check and see just what the lay of the land was. She was a sinner, a prostitute, apparently. She was apparently a woman who entertained the travelers. And she was a woman of faith, and she was told that if she would make sure her family was in her house, and if she would put a scarlet ribbon in the window of her house, a scarlet thread in the window of her house, that her house would be saved and everybody in the house would be saved. And this is a picture of God's salvation when judgment is coming. The woman had to do something that, in my mind, made no sense, but it worked. And so when the children of Israel blew on these trumpets, if you ever heard the trumpet sound of a ram's horn, it's very eerie. Now, there are some who think it was the silver trumpets that were being sound, but the King James says it was ram's horns, and I have the sound of the ram's horn. I'd like to put it on this message, but don't think I'll be able to do that because I don't have the technical skill. But nevertheless, they may have sounded both silver trumpets and ram's horns, but the ram's horn was sounded, the ark was being carried, the people went around the city, and it's sort of like the day and age in which we live. The first time those people went around the city, the people within the city must have just been in fear and trepidation. But then when the children of Israel went back into camp and nothing happened, they probably relaxed. Sort of like today when we're told the Lord is going to come and he's going to receive those who, like Rahab, have gotten into the house and are saved. He's going to receive them unto himself, and the rest are going to go through a period of 7 years of judgment when many people will die. And so, you know, right now when things are kind of up in the air with this pandemic and with all of the things going on in the world, there's people who think, well, maybe the Lord is about to come, but the longer he puts it off, the less concern there is about it. And so as these children of Israel continually go around the city, once every one of those 7 days, by the end of the sixth day, I'm sure they were being mocked. But on the seventh day, something changed. They went around the city seven times. And I'm sure on the start of that second journey, people in the city said, oh, maybe we ought to pay attention to the warnings. Maybe we ought to find a place of safety. But by the seventh time, I'm sure that they had relaxed and again were mocking the children of Israel. And it's sort of like our day when we know that people say that all things have continued as they were since the foundation of the world, and there's scoffers that will come and say, where is the promise of his coming? But nevertheless, at the end of that seventh time around the city, something that the people in Jericho would not know, at the end of that seventh time around Jericho, the trumpet sounded, the wall fell down flat, and the children of Israel went into the city and destroyed it. Judgment came. And we need to recognize that God is able to fulfill his promises in a miraculous way, and we should not be mocking the Lord's return. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless this lesson and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy love. We thank thee for thy salvation. We pray for thy blessing in salvation upon any that are not saved that are listening. We thank thee again in our Savior's name. Amen.